Don't worry about it, Pastor. You know you're from Canada when you design your Halloween costume to fit over your snowsuit. You know you're from Canada when you have more kilometers on your snowblower than your car. You know you're from Canada when driving is better in the winter because the potholes are filled with snow. You owe more money on your snowmobile than your car. You know you're from Canada when the local paper covers national and international headlines on 2 pages, but requires 6 pages for hockey. You know you're from Canada if your snowblower gets stuck on the roof. You know you're from Canada when you find 40 degrees Celsius a little chilly. And last but not least, you know 4 seasons. Winter, still winter, almost winter, and construction. All kidding aside, Pastor James is and has been a great blessing to us as a congregation. The Lord has gifted him as a preacher and always living by the standards of the Bible. He's one of the most honorable and sincere men I have ever met. God has used him in innumerable ways over the years to build the spiritual strengths of this body of believers. So thank you, Pastor, for your dedication to the Lord and Savior. And thank you, Kathy, for sharing James with us. And thank you, Austin. Where is he? He must go get more pie. And Abram, Alex, Audriana, and Allison, for sharing your father with us.
Before we move on, there's a red Ford Fusion out there that's honking all the time. I think it's parked in a visitor spot, I understand it. So if that's yours, please go take care of that. Thanks.
I'd like to read a letter that we got from James' alma mater, Briarcrest College and Seminary. So let me read this. June 2013. It's got your name at the top, James Enns. Briarcrest College and Seminary extends the deepest gratitude to you. You are a picture of grace of Christ, and we praise the Lord for your faithfulness. You are receiving this letter because you so clearly remind us of the beauty and the majesty of life surrendered over to God. The Lord has been hard at work at Briarcrest, and his masterful touch is visible in the lives of many of our alumni. We want to honor his faithfulness by recognizing and celebrating some of his servants who have gone out from here over the years. You are one of those servants. The people around you testify that you care about the things of God. You are an amazing servant. Your pastoral leadership and care of the people has been demonstrated again and again in your life. Thank you for sharing of yourself so generously, for declaring the gospel, and for tenaciously working to serve the church. When people think of you, we hear them describe joy, wisdom, faithfulness, and love for the church. We celebrate your life of service. You are a fully devoted disciple of Jesus. By God's grace, your ministry has a worth that will last into eternity. And so we thank God for you, and we pray that you will know the Lord's favor. Briarcrest would be nothing without alumni like you. We just want to bless you with this letter of encouragement. May the Lord be lifted up in your life more and more for his glory. In the name of Jesus, the leadership of staff and alumni of Briarcrest College and Seminary. Amen. Next, Pastor Powell could not be with us today, and Joanne, but he did send a DVD, and I think if we got it hooked up correctly, we're going to try to run that, so it's a message for James. So I guess we'll let her run.
Really sorry that we weren't able to make it for James' big celebration. overseeing and do all kinds. Hey, everybody at Rothbury. I'm really sorry that we weren't able to make it for James' big celebration, but I'm really glad to be able to take a couple of minutes and say a few words. Let me just start by saying for Joanne and I, a big hello to all of our friends and loved ones there in Rothbury. We have great and fond memories of all that God did there and the great times we had with so many of you, and we're thrilled with what God did. Back in about 1986, 1987, God had been blessing and the church was growing and we were seeing God do all kinds of things there in the church. And we'd had some interns come and work with young people, but we really decided that it was time to have somebody who could come and really focus on ministry to young people. And so I began looking in the only logical place to look for that, which was at my alma mater at Briarcrest Bible College in Canada. And we knew that the team was coming through to the church from the school. And what James did not know is that the fix was already in. I'd already talked with numerous people around the college, and they had talked to me about some of the most likely candidates, some of the most capable guys, and I can't remember who exactly it was, but somebody said, yeah, you know, one of these guys is actually on the ministry team and going to be visiting your church. And that's really how I got the name of Pastor James Enns at that time. And so the team came, and when they arrived and they did their program ministry for the school, I had a meeting with James immediately following that. And he was very respectful and listened, and we talked. And as the word has it, he got back in the school van to leave, and the first thing he said to everybody else on the team was, I'll never go to Rothbury. Well, that's the first lesson, never say never. You don't get to serve God and then say, but don't send me to Africa, because that's what God tends to do. And obviously we were very thrilled. James came to the church and began ministering to young people, and God really blessed. We saw him do great things. I remember the youth fest that he created and really orchestrated that had great success on the shoreline there, reaching young people with the gospel. And we were thrilled with all of that. Not a whole lot of time passed, and there was a young lady that began attending the church with her family. And the Atkins family was attending, and he was kind of smitten with a young lady named Kathy. And it was kind of interesting that in this case, James was head over heels for this girl. And at that time, she was not ready to get serious and was heading for college at Michigan State. And oh my goodness, many of you, including Joanne and I, remember James coming and crying on our shoulders, what can I do? In fact, James used to come and borrow our boat so he could take Kathy for rides. I think he was trying to impress her. The poor guy, I think that it was all good because he really grew in the Lord during that time while he waited for Kathy to finally hear from God. And obviously we're glad that she did, and they got together and have become such a great part of the Rothbury Community Church and their ministry and their family and so on. But just let me tell you that one of the things that was the driving factor and the question that I asked from the very beginning, which has always been very important to me in looking for someone and also to mark my ministry, I wanted to know if there was somebody that was spiritual and had integrity, because those are two of the key components to any good, consistent, steadfast ministry, is to have a deep spirituality, a love for God, a desire to walk with God, to experience God's presence in your life, and to have integrity. And that is that truth of spirituality not just be at church, that it not just be when you're counseling or when you're out meeting, but in every part of your life, that you're the same person in the ministry, you're the same person in the pulpit, you're the same person in the classroom, you're the same person at home in front of your kids, you're the same person before your wife. That's integrity. And one of my dearest friends in the world there at Rothbury, Dick Paxson, for his life's work, worked for Howmet Turbine Corporation. And I really got a great illustration from Dick Paxson. And that is this, that one of the things in Howmet Turbine Corporation was to come up with greater and greater kinds of strong parts for turbine jet engines without any flaws. And they were able to first, with X-ray, determine the quality of a part. They were able to actually use magnetic kinds of procedures to make all the grain of a metal go one way to give it greater integrity. Finally, they were able to come up with a single crystal kind of metal. They would literally grow this metal to give it the highest amount of integrity. In other words, that every part of it was connected with every other part without any flaws. And I saw that as a great illustration of the kind of man that it takes for God to really use. I saw that in James, and I still do. It's always been an honor to know him, to be counted as his friend, and to have been a small part in God bringing him to Rothbury. We love you guys, James and Kathy. Congratulations on 25 years from both Joanne and I. We continue to pray for the best for you guys through the valleys and on the mountaintops, and just hope for many, many more productive years of ministry there in West Michigan. God bless you all.
Some of you may have heard that last name was Atkins and not Ackley. Well, he called me early this morning to tell me that he'd seen that, but it was too late to fix the tape and everything. So he said, please explain to everybody, I do know her name, I just misspoke myself. I said, that's kind of because you're on an Atkins diet, right? He said, you know, I was thinking what he was up there too, talking about the boat. And some of you have seen James waterski barefoot. He can actually do that. So we actually got a pastor that walks on water. We can tell people. Well, next, one of my favorite speakers over the years has been Keith Walsworth. And if you had to have someone to say something, nice things about someone, you would want Keith to do it. Where's Keith? Oh, you're going to say something nice about him, aren't you? Okay. Keith and Brenda work for the Lord at Bancroft Gospel Ministries, and so all I can say is God bless you, Keith, because you've blessed us over the years, and we're always, always grateful to hear all the things God's doing under the leadership of your ministry, because your faithfulness to him. So come share your thoughts.
25 years. A lot of water has gone under the bridge. I guess when Rothbury called James, I was in Bristol, so my relationship with James has been kind of at a distance, being able to see what God is doing here at Rothbury and watching things. And when they first asked me if I would be willing to share a little bit about James and be here for this celebration, I said, sure, and there were some memories that flashed through my mind. The first memory was a time that I had traveled 700 miles to come up here to a missions conference. I had been given a motorhome from a very loving friend, and on the way up, the alternator quit working, and I was towing a car behind the motorhome, and so when the battery was about dead on the motorhome, I would stop and switch batteries from the car to the motorhome and vice versa and leave the car idling so it would be charged for the next switch. The exhaust system fell off and we bumped over it and the kids saw it go off to the side, and then later the headlight assembly fell out and rolled into the tall grass, and I'm sure that James thought I was auditioning for the Red Green Show. He sat not far from where he is, and he nearly wet his pants. I was looking for sympathy from my home church after making this long journey and my vehicle falling apart, and he got a kick out of it. A second memory took place very close to the same situation. I was up here. And this was when you had two morning sermons. And that particular morning, I had preached the early service, had gone into the fellowship hall for the Sunday school class, come back in for the second service, and I could not get that sermon off the ground. It had never happened to me before, and praise God, it has never happened since. But I labored up here, and I struggled up here, and I just couldn't get it to flow. I couldn't get it to come together, and I paused for a moment and asked you as a congregation just to pray with me. And I tried again, and it just couldn't get it rolling. And finally, I just turned to James and said, I'm going to turn it over to you, and called it quits. I felt about this big. When you are the preacher, you're the speaker, and you just can't get it off the ground and just have to call it quits, you're a failure. But I'll never forget, James was there by my side and gave me words of encouragement and was a blessing, and I needed that at that time. But the thing that impresses me most about James took place several years ago. Rothbury Community Church was without a pastor. And I don't remember all the details, but someone had approached me and asked if I would be willing to at least sit down and talk with the elders about the possibility of becoming the pastor of Rothbury Community Church. And we met, I believe, where the library used to be. I think that was offices at the time. And while we sat there, I sat there with the elders, and James was off to my right in a chair as well. And there were a series of questions and comments and discussion and things, but the thing that impressed me was here was James. He was not covetous of a position. I believe that he was a man praying that God would send the right man to lead this church. And it wasn't at that time that he stepped up at pastorate, but sometime later, as the church again was looking for a pastor, James didn't think it was him, but in time, God moved upon the elders, moved upon James, and they all knew, that he was the man to become the pastor of Rothbury Community Church. And for a man to make that transition is not easy. But a man that has been in the wings, in the ministry here, and not covetous of a position, but really wanting God's man for this church, shows that integrity, shows that spirituality, shows that character of a man who desires to be what God wants him to be. And I praise the Lord for the 25 years that the Lord has used you here, and pray for many more.
Thank you, Keith.
Well, Steve's already spoke here today, but it's always been a privilege to have Steve Best fill this pulpit, and we've asked him over the years for his counsel also, but Steve and Terry served in the pastor at RCC a number of years ago, and we were truly blessed. As Pastor Ryan said this morning, Steve and Terry currently serve in the directorship at the Every Tribe Mission. So, Steve, it's a pleasure to have you and Terry back with us today. So come share your thoughts, please.
First, let me take a moment now to thank you for your prayer and teaming with us in ministry and now beginning to support us financially. You mean so much to us, and I just want to take the opportunity to say thank you for your support of us and our ministry. I'm still not sure which things to say. Yeah. Two key memories come back with James. James has those big eyes, and there are some occasions when they get really big, and they kind of look out at you, and two things come to mind in particular of the look that I got from you. One of them was up on the streets of New Era when we were playing in a 3-on-3 basketball tournament, and he was making a cut, and I was down in the corner of the basketball. He was making a cut from the top of the key, and his foot slipped behind him, and I heard this bang like this, and it was Achilles tendon blowing out, and his eyes got real huge like that, and I was like, whoa, what just happened? And fun days after that. But the other time I saw that same look, I still remember real clearly walking next door into his office, and I was going to be going on vacation about 4 weeks later. And I walked in and said, "Hey, James, I want you to preach for me when I'm on vacation about 4 weeks from now." And he got that same look. And I was kind of like, "What?" And that's the first time I'd asked him. I hadn't been here real long at that point. And again, a man of integrity and honesty, he said, we had a conversation after that, and he just talked about how it was a struggle for him to think about preaching. He was very comfortable in the youth ministry and in teaching the young people the Word of God, but you intimidated him for some reason. And I understood why. No, just that change was tough. And I remember our conversation. Part of it was always knowing what to preach, because to pick a message for one time is tough to do. It's one of the hardest things to do as a pastor. And so that part of it, and then just to prepare and do those kinds of things. So I suggested to you that day, I forget what book I was in at the time, but I was preaching through a book, and I said, this is the passage that I would do on that Sunday. Why don't you plan to preach that passage? And that way you've got the background of what I'm teaching as I go through the weeks ahead of time. That'll help you, and I'll be glad to work with you, and we did. And I was gone, and I came back, and I heard rave reviews of James preaching, and it was like something was different. And it was just in the process of doing the exposition through a book. And so I put you up again, and then again, and really began to share the pulpit with you a lot. And it was a real joy and privilege to see you grow in that. But the other key moment I remember, I think it was after the third time you preached. I came in on Monday morning, and you always wanted some feedback from me. And I remember how well you had done that day. And I was proud of you and what you'd done and complimented on those things. But then I gave you a gentle rebuke. And the rebuke was this: James, I saw how hard you've worked to prepare these messages to speak before the adults of the church. Do you work just as hard to prepare the word when you speak to the young people on Sunday morning? And I think you were doing 1 Timothy at that time in Sunday school class. And he dropped his head. And when he picked his head back up, he said, I get it. I'm going to start doing that. And I really saw you dig into the word, and it made a difference in the young people's lives. And now to come back and hear you preach and see how God has used you as you've grown is a delight and joy for me as a pastor, to have had a little bit of time of influence and impact in your life and to challenge you that way, and to see you dig into the word and to grow as a pastor, and now to be so faithful to preach here. I tell people all the time, it's like if I retired, I know what pastor I'd want to go sit under. If he'd just preach in Florida or Arizona or somewhere where it's warm. So, James, I'm proud of you. I appreciate the way you have seriously handled the word faithfully for so many years, and it's just a delight to come back and honor you this day. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Steve. One of the dearest and one of the most respected persons I know is Pastor Roger Rose. We have been a very privileged people to have Roger and Donna serve in the pastorate at RCC. Again, if you wanted someone to say something about you, you would want Pastor Rose to give words of testimony about you. So welcome, Pastor, as you come and share your thoughts about Pastor James.
Thank you for the opportunity to come and just share this very special day. And, you know, I think often when I think of you, I think about Paul in Philippians 1:3 when he said, "I thank God upon every remembrance of you." And that's really true as we think back and remember those years that we spent here. It's with great thanksgiving to God for you both. I really mean that. And this has just been a special day, and we're so glad that we could be a part of it. I've never stayed any place 25 years, so I don't know exactly what it feels like, but I think it's a good thing. Some of you probably know the name of Henry Savage. He was a longtime pastor of First Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan. But when he had been there 40 years, somebody said, "How did you stay 40 years in one church?" He said, "I just never left." But I think that there's great advantage in staying 25 years or 30 years or 40 years or whatever it turns out to be. There's a great advantage because it gives an opportunity for people really to see you grow. And it gives an opportunity, well, it gives an opportunity for people to see the example of your life personally and as a married couple, seeing how you interact as a married couple. And as parents, it's just, I always felt when our own kids were growing up that it was when they were growing up too in the church that we really had the bigger impact on families because they could see how we interacted as a family. And I know that that's true at Rothbury Community Church with you folks. And I certainly appreciate that. You've had so many nice things said about you already. And I have appreciated that. And I've sat there and I've said amen to it all because I really believe that. And, you know, they say that a preacher will walk 100 miles to preach a sermon, but he won't go across the street to hear one. But let me assure you that that's not true with me. And I don't think I ever heard you preach a bad sermon. And that's saying quite a bit. But I always had a lot of thought and good content that went into what you said. And I just appreciated it. And I still do. Now, I appreciated the message this morning, Steve. But I would have loved to hear you preach. So I got to come back so I can hear you preach. But do so very much appreciate it. You know, it's interesting that Steve would preach out of 2 Chronicles this morning. I was just sharing with him afterward that in the Wednesday night Bible study that I lead at our church, I've been preaching through 2 Chronicles and laying special emphasis on the kings of Judah, as you would expect. And I have this thing of being concerned, I guess, as everybody does when we get older, that I want to finish well. And as I read through the kings of Judah, not very many of them finished well. Some of them started well, but they didn't finish well. And, of course, some of them started lousy and finished lousy. Not very many started lousy and finished well. But, you know, I think that's the challenge in leadership is to have a consistency over the long haul. And one of the things that we have been doing in our little Bible study is trying to write an epitaph for each of the kings. Now, I'm not writing your epitaph yet, but it's interesting that the Holy Spirit really writes an epitaph on most of the kings of Judah at some point or other. And, for example, with King Rehoboam, who was the first king of Judah, it says, "He did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord." That's a bad epitaph to have. A good one was Jehoshaphat. of Jehoshaphat, the Holy Spirit said, he did not turn aside from doing what was right in the sight of God. But I wanted to just read the epitaph of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a great king. But in Hezekiah chapter 31 and verses 20 and 21, thus it says, he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. That is, he had real conviction and he followed through with it. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. I think that fits you, James. I think you do what you do with your heart. And if you go on into the next chapter, you get a glimpse into the heart of Hezekiah. As faced with a foe, he says to them, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. May that be a challenge and also an assurance and encouragement to you as you continue on in your ministry. Well, I woke up in the middle of the night last night, and I woke up, strangely enough, thinking about a poem that I had remembered from years ago, and it had not come back to me at all in those years. And I thought, I must have to share that with these folks today. So I got up and I jotted it down as best I could remember. A builder built a temple. He wrought it with grace and skill. Pillars and groins and arches all fashioned to do his will. Men said as they saw its beauty, it shall never know decay. Great is your skill, O builder, your fame shall endure for aye. A pastor built a temple with patient and loving care, planning each piece with passion, laying each stone with care. None praised his ceaseless effort. None knew the hidden plan, for the temple the pastor built was unseen by the eye of man. Gone is the builder's temple, crumbled into dust. Low lies each stately pillar, food for consuming rust. But the temple the pastor built will last while the ages roll. For that beautiful unseen temple is a man's immortal soul. And just, you know, 25 years is a good milestone. It's a good marker on the way. But the years, I don't really tell the story. The story is told in the hearts and lives of the people that you've ministered to over these years. And I think it's been big. The Lord bless you. We appreciate you and love you.
Well, thank you, Pastor. And I know James appreciates all the comments, and we appreciate him. I have one more poem. And this is, I asked Marion Gary to do one of her poems, and she graciously said she would. So let me read this. To Pastor James, it just starts out, it's been quite a while since I've had a touch to write a poem about one whom we love much. Pastor James came to us 25 years ago. He was a young man from college, we know. He was chosen by God to you, see? He's been so helpful and needed, we all agree. He's been our youth leader and did very well. The young folks just listened to him, they tell. We had several pastors, but they didn't stay long. But James married one of our number, Kathy, and now he belongs. He learned so much from our dear elder, Pastor Rose, and our love for him just grows and grows. He's a helper for many, the old and the young. He's a counselor, instructor, and helps everyone. He's a wonderful father. His family is great. He does many things with them on any given date. We don't know how to honor you, but God shows us the way to make your 25 years an honorable day. So God bless you, Pastor James and Kathy. Mary and Gary wrote that poem.
All right, well, before we give James a chance to say something here real quick, we got a couple. James, why don't you come on up here? Got a couple presentations.
It is, but I'll let you talk. I'll get it.
Bill, the what's your title? Head of the deacons or something like that? Anyways, he's got something to say.
All right, well, we're running over time, so we'll just leave. Oh, okay. As you guys know, many of you got a letter talking about this day. We were trying to keep it quiet from James. And 25 years is a big deal. And we wanted to somehow show our gratitude from the leadership, from the church body. And we tried to do so. We had a meeting a couple weeks ago, try to finalize what we wanted to do. And what we have decided, and you guys got the letter, we are going to send James and Kathy on a trip of their choice. The deacons have opened a fund. We put in a great deal of money into that fund to send James and Kathy to get it started. We'd like to send them to Israel. So, if we're not able to do that because it closes, the country closes or not, we'd like to either do a Greece trip or somewhere where Paul went too. But that will be up to you. We'll let you guys decide that, but we would like to send you there. So thank you all for supporting James in that, and I think Brian's got one other one.
Yeah, we got a frame here. Gina Sharp put it together for us. It is a sermon note from Charles Spurgeon. It's actually his note from just over 100 years ago. I don't know how many years, more than 100 years ago. But there's a sermon note from one of his sermons, and that's James on that side, is that you can actually read his writing. That's kind of chicken scratch there. But it says on the bottom there, presented to Pastor James Enns by the members of Rothbury Community Church. Can you bring it closer? Thank you. In thankfulness for 25 years of friendship and faithful ministry. So you can hang that up in your office or over your bed or I don't know what you want. But anyways, that's a gift for you.
Thanks for inviting me to the party. It's been fun. I haven't preached yet today, so I just brought my Bible with me just in case. Now, this has been a very special occasion. I really didn't know anything that was happening, except I was told around a month or two ago that I was not allowed to preach June the 2nd. And I didn't ask any questions. I didn't inquire at all about that. I just knew I was supposed to show up today, and so... So there has been a lot of pleasant surprises, to say the least. So thank you for this really, really wonderful day. I'm honored and I'm humbled by it. I'm humbled to be in the company of a number of men here that have come to this pulpit. For just to be associated with those guys means a lot to me, and their friendships mean a lot to me. I was just thinking as I was sitting there listening to these three individuals, there's just so many ways I just feel like God's blessed my life in very specific ways from these guys, and I think just the Lord's used that to help round me better to be more effective in ministry. And as I think of Steve, I think of the preaching which you talked about and which you challenged me in. When I think of Roger, I think of shepherding. And I don't know anyone that shepherds better than Roger shepherds and has shepherded and modeled that in your years of being here. And I've often said, Steve, to for those of you that don't get to many churches often, I've often said probably the best preacher you'll get to hear is Steve Best. And so I've appreciated his example of that and what good preaching is. There's a lot of preaching out there, but there's not a lot of very good preaching, and I feel like I've learned it from the best, no pun intended, of course, in saying that. And when I think of Keith, the first thing that comes to my mind, and we had a brief discussion about it in our prayer time this morning, was perseverance. And again, another one of those rare qualities to see, because people... And not that there's circumstances that you don't change and go into other places and other churches or those or different ministries, but Keith has just been the best example of what perseverance is all about. And when God calls you to do something, you persevere until he calls you to do something else. And Keith has lived that out, and I've just had such great respect for you, Keith. And you've been a long-distance relationship that I've just admired from that distance, but you're a great friend as well. And of course, we could go on and on, and you would just as soon go home and enjoy your afternoon. So I will not go on and on too much further here, except to say thank you. And it's been a real privilege to be serving in one place for 25 years. I mean, and that's just crazy. I would have never thought such a thing, and I remember the statement coming into Rothbury, thinking, you know, who would ever want to live in Rothbury, for crying out loud, and so when I came, you know, I was thinking, I thought, you know, God kind of got the best of that one on me, and I thought, well, I'll come for a year, maybe two, and then I'll head back to the West Coast, boy, just interesting to look back. I'm sure God had a pretty good smirk on his face when he heard me murmur those words as well, but it's been a privilege. Not a lot of pastors can say that. It's a privilege to open the Word up week after week, knowing that people are hungry for the Word. Makes my job a lot easier and enjoyable as a pastor, and so the support in being able to do that has just been tremendous. So it's a great honor. It's a humbling honor to open the Word up and to preach it, and yet it's a great reminder week by week of our need to rely on the sufficiency of God's grace. And it really isn't that true for all of us as it relates to us living the Christian life. We can't do it without him, and so a lot of nice things have been said here today, but really the glory goes to the Lord, because it's his grace that is sufficient to do the things that he calls us to do. Our job is simply to be obedient to that. It's not real complicated. He will provide for us as we do the things that he's called us to do. And I guess that's really the goal that I have. I never planned on being here 25 years, but here I am. And however long God wants me to continue to be obedient to his call here, we'll just continue to do that. So let me end with this. Besides saying, and there was one other thank you I needed to make, and that is to my wife, because I think it's important for people to understand that it's impossible to have an effective ministry without a supportive, godly wife. It's impossible, and so I think I'll just deflect a lot of the nice things said about me today to my wife as well, so... Let me close with, if I can just continue reading from where Roger referred to this one verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. But it just, to me, as I was sitting there, I thought, this is so appropriate to be said about you. And in my own affections for you as a people, and for, I guess, at my own heart, what my prayer would be for you as we continue on from here. And it says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for all of you, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, okay? And we can maybe put 25 years in there, right? And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all. That sounds Texan-like, doesn't it? You all. Because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Okay, the only thing that doesn't apply there is this hasn't been prison for me in my 25 years here. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And then he ends with this portion, and he says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And that is my prayer for you in the years ahead. Amen. Thank you.
All right, just a couple of other items before we close in a time of prayer here. I've been told to ask you when we are dismissed here to get to the kitchen and get your food as quickly, or your plates as quickly as you can. There's cleaning up stuff still, and trying to figure out what's the church's stuff and what's our stuff and everything. So, and be sure to thank those folks, by the way, as you go by it too, for all the work that they've done and getting the food here all set. Also, we need to get this sanctuary set up like it was, 2 hours ago in here. So if you can stick around and help with that, that'd be greatly appreciated. I'm going to invite all the past and current deacons and elders and pastors. If you would come up here, we're going to lay hands on James and Larry Jantz, that's going to lead us in a time of prayer. And I'd invite the congregation as well. I want you to extend your hand out, symbolically placing your hand upon James' shoulders as we pray for this man of God. Can I get the wireless?
I was just thinking that God is using us to perfect James. It took 10 years for him to learn what our sins were, and now it's taken 15 years to learn how to forgive us. Thank you for sending James here to lead us, to be an example for us, to be an inspiration for us. And Father, I just pray that you bless him in the next chapter of his life. Help him to continue to serve you. Help him to not get discouraged and to not get tired. But Father, I pray that you refresh him and help him to continue to lead us here. And Father, be with each of these men on this stage. Help them to be encouraged. Help them to be inspired to help James lead this church into our next chapter. We give this over to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah.
Appreciate you. You did a good job.
Thank you.
I think it's still on.
Yeah, thank you. I got it.